Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I've
heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the blessed and wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank you for this another privileged opportunity to study your word. Now, Lord, meet us in the study of the text. Meet every person present here, those who hear us by way of radio or cassette or CD, and minister to them, God, and lift them to the place you'll have them to be. We'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And every believer said, amen. Well, can you give him a better amen than that? Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have shared many times over and over again the fact that when we learn and practice principles and practice them properly, we profit from them. And one of the things that I want to share with us tonight has to do again with principles and learning and operating in those principles so that we can too profit from what God has given us his word to profit from. It makes absolutely no sense at all to be in church week after week and have issue after issue and can't get resolved from them, especially with loving the Lord, being faithful, paying your tithes, and on and on and on. There ought to be some progress, there ought to be some growth, there ought to be some development, there ought to be some understanding in how to operate and move from one level to the next level, one degree to the next degree, so that the word is manifested in your life and not just written in your Bible. Now, one of the things, again, that we want to talk about, Jesus said to a person who was not an Israelite, who was not a part of his religious sect, was not a part of his fellowship, that there was no greater faith found in all of Israel, meaning the believing community, the chosen people of God, than that was found in this man who was a Roman soldier. He said, great faith. So what I want to talk about tonight is a closer look at great faith. If Jesus says this is great faith, doesn't it make sense to find out what he considers great faith? Because you're going to discover that heaven operates and everything that we are to receive from heaven must be connected by way of faith. If your faith does not please God, you don't need to think you're going to get anything from him. That's what the word of God says. So one of the things I want to look at, and this is where we're going to be speaking, teaching from Matthew chapter 8. I want you to turn there right quickly, a very familiar story. Beginning at verse 5, it says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, look at what the word said. Who marveled? Who is he? Jesus marveled and said unto them that followed. Now he's looking at this centurion man, and he turns and looks at his disciples and says to them, verily I say, truly I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now these are the promised people. These are the people who know the word. These are the people who understand or supposed to understand Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the promise of God to deliver the people of God. They're supposed to be connected to the promise and operate in this. And he turns to them and say, I've got a man who don't even follow me, who believes more in me than those of you who follow me. And notice what he goes on to say in verse 11. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom, talking about the Israelites now, shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And look at what verse 13 says. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Now I want to share something with you. First of all men have not faith, the word of God says. And that means they have no faith in God. Romans 12:3 says God gives every man a measure of faith. But what this word represents is that just because you have that measure of faith doesn't mean that you have it in God. So when you go to Mark 4 and 40, you're going to see Jesus determines that as he detects from their faithless operation that the faith that they were given was not placed in God. There are a whole lot of people who live by faith every day who are unsaved. It doesn't mean that they put their faith in God. They put it in things. They put it in people. They put it in places, et cetera, et cetera. Where you place your faith will determine where you profit from your faith. And so Matthew 6:30 says some have little faith. And if you read that, you'll see again, Jesus detects that little faith by, again, their own actions and their outbursts and those things that reveal what's on the inside of them. This centurion was one who had great faith. Those who have faith are rich. I said those who have faith are rich. Now listen to this. Faith will buy or believe anything from God. This man's faith was pleasing to the Lord. Now get this before we move any further, because when your faith pleases God, when your faith connects with the one who said, let there be, and it was, when your faith is firmly rooted in the word and the will and the way of God, you then begin to operate in spiritual truths and profit from those spiritual truths, because what God wants us to understand is the power of his word will never fail. There is a very interesting lesson in this text that we're going to discover about one of the reasons why Jesus calls this man great faith, and it has to do around the statement that he made to Jesus when he said, speak the word only. And we'll visit that a little later. First thing I want you to see is there are 7 points to ponder here in these verses about great faith. 7 points to ponder. I wish you'd write them down. The first one is when he said great, it means great when you think of who he was. Now, this is Jesus saying this man's faith was great. It's great when you think of who he was, or rather, who he wasn't. He was a Roman soldier, a centurion, which meant he had 100 men under his control, which was a 60th part of the Roman army. And he had authority over those 100, and then he had others who were in authority over him. So he understood structure. He understood standard. He understood order. And so because of that, he understood what he was asking Jesus, and he understood that though he was not an Israelite, he was not a follower, he was not a part of Jesus' discipleship, yet what made him ask Jesus what he asked him came from what he heard about Jesus and what he heard as it related to him being connected to the faith arena. Now, no doubt, as a Roman soldier, he had heard stories, but he also may have been in some of the crowds and some of the gatherings when Jesus spoke. One of the things that you're going to recognize is he was a Roman centurion, not a Jew, familiar with the scriptures. How would his faith grow so great if he had not believed all that he heard of the truth concerning and connected with Jesus? Great faith is often fostered in the midst of the greatest difficulties. Listen at this well. Poor circumstances are not specially favorable for poor faith. If your faith would grow exceedingly, it must be exercised abundantly. Now see, this is what you need to know. See, folk who don't exercise their faith daily and regularly don't have strong faith and can do great exploits. It's like you look around this building tonight, and every person in here has muscles. Every last one of them. Whether you're tall, short, fat, skinny, you know, black, white, Jew, Gentile, whatever, you got muscles. Now look at you, you might not be able to tell, but you got them. How do you know that the muscles work? Somebody lift your hand up. Wave them. Okay, we're participating here. We want to make sure your muscles are working. All right, thank you. Now, if you went to the gym and started exercising them and exercising correct form with proper weight, you will see if you do this consistently that your muscles will begin to develop and consistently develop, not only with strength, but with stamina, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if you stop exercising, you will see you'll still have the muscles, but they will not be as strong and they will not be as active and powerful, et cetera, but they'll still be there. They'll lie dormant until you use them. Same way it is with your faith. Your faith doesn't grow. There are some things you'll never get from God on the level of faith that you're operating in, because you've got to operate your faith until it becomes strong enough to pull from the spirit realm and bring it into the natural realm. See, there are just some things some of you can't believe God for right now. How many of you be honest enough and say that you've grown in your faith where you can look back and see that you can believe him for some things now that you couldn't believe him for 10 years ago, 5 years ago, a year ago, a month ago? See, the more you begin to operate your faith, and the best place to operate your faith is where you are. See, you can't look at Brother Johnson and say, well, I can believe like Brother Johnson. Can you? Have you been through what he's been through? Are you in prayer, meditation, scripture reading, sacrificing, etc. like he is? You don't know what his level is. So you can't say you can do like him. You can do like you can do. And when you do like you can do, faith will do what it does. And when you understand that, God meets you where your faith level is. So you begin where you really can believe God at. Because the devil wants you to believe him for some outrageous stuff that you'll never see and then bring doubt into your heart. Well, I believe the Lord for this, and I didn't get it. Did you really believe it? Because one of the things that the Lord says to the centurion is that you believed, ED, period, close, in the discussion. When he believed that, all he had to do was speak the word only, and his servant would be healed. Jesus knew that that was the end of it. That was not going to be any more doubting. All he wanted to do was deliver the message to Jesus that his servant needs some healing, and he was the man to do it. And Jesus was impressed, because look at what Jesus says in the scripture. I will come and heal him. Now, I'm going to deal a little bit later with that verse because there's some power in that verse, and that's why a whole lot of us can't get what we need because we're looking for Jesus to show up at our house. Point two, he said, great when you think of the occasion of it. The occasion of what? His slave was sick. That didn't seem like it was no big thing. But the Bible says he believed that Christ's compassion was deep enough and broad enough to reach the poor and the ignorant, not like the Pharisees in Matthew 9 and 11. Great faith always brings the little and the disputed things to Jesus. Little faith never carries little troubles to God. It takes great faith to bring the trifling details of life to him in prayer. Beware of the little foxes. Now listen, when you start growing in faith and you begin to believe God, nothing is too small to tell God about. Because how many of you know that it's the small things that wind up becoming big things? If you start doing some or stop doing some things, little things, daily, they begin to mount up and they begin to grow and they begin to develop into larger things. Almost every one of our problems that we experience today didn't start off major, they started off small. They started off small. Your development, your growth, your progress, your accomplishments, your achievements, they didn't start off one day at the top. They started off step by step by step by step until you reach that place. Whole lot of folk that have issues in relationship, be they with their children, be they with their spouse, with their boss, etc., have to do with the way they started handling and treating each other day by day, word by word, argument by argument. You got to the point where you argue and you didn't say you were sorry quick, and then that time began to lengthen out. And so it's hours before you come back and say, I'm sorry. And then next one lengths out a little further. And then it's now you go to bed and you mad. You on one side, she on the other side. You wake up in the morning. I mean, you don't say good morning. It starts carrying into the next day. And then from there on and on, and in between that time, the devil steps in. How many of you know what it took to get, it takes the same to keep? When you used to say nice things then, don't you think it requires nice things now? Brothers, do you like your wives to say nice things to you? Some of you brothers, you scary men, you just. I know sisters like your men to say great things and nice things to you, don't you? All right. Well, you see, then when you don't get it and you don't miss it until it has blown up to some great thing, then you realize it was little stuff that just boiled into this great big old. It didn't happen overnight. The Bible says it was the little foxes that destroyed the vines, meaning the little bitty things that you don't consider too big and too important to deal with right now, but they can keep on. Just stop paying your bill one month. And then that felt good because you had a little extra money to do that. Then don't pay it the next month. Am I talking to anybody? Am I getting you? Are you reaching you? Well, you'll discover sooner or later that you can't just go back and pay the payments because now you've got interest, and it depends on what it is. It may be penalties. And so what might have been $200 now becomes $2,000 or something like that. But what was a little thing that was neglected grew into a large thing. And so it's important to recognize when you have great faith, you begin to believe God. No, devil, I bind you in the name. I'm not going to even let this go no further. So, no, we ain't going to talk like that. No, we ain't going to go through. Because if you finish saying what you say, then that's going to provoke me to say some stuff I don't want to say. So before we get to talking about each other's mama. We better stop it right here. So you got to realize, and it, Lord, look, guard my mouth, keep me, God. Because if you don't, you wind up saying stuff that sorry won't ever take the place of. And so when you begin to operate in great faith, you learn to take care of business when it's right there in a little small thing where it won't be no big deal, and you handle it right there. You ain't too trifling to say, Lord, this little thing, I can handle this, God. No, because it's a spiritual thing. And it's cloaked in smallness to make you believe that it's a little thing. But it's those little things like that that the enemy uses to overthrow the power of the people of God. Next thing he said is great when you think of the need mentioned. Look at this. He said his servant was sick of the palsy. Now, it wasn't his need. He was grievously tormented, afflicted both in body and soul, a helpless incurable as far as human skill and power were concerned. But his faith in Jesus surmounted all. Nothing is too hard for him. Great faith lays hold on the greatness of Christ. The power of Christ is sufficient for all the emergencies of a believer. The power of Christ is sufficient for all, not some, all of the emergencies of the believer. Notice it didn't say sufficient for all of the church folk. It said believers. Why is that so important? Because this man wasn't a church man. He was a believer. He wasn't a follower of Christ. He was a believer in the words of Christ. And so because of that being the case, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? By the word of God. And that's what he heard, and that's what stirred his faith, and that's what caused him to operate. And my brother, my sister, you need to understand the power of hearing the word and operating on the word. Because when your spirit man is stirred by the word, listen, when Jeremiah wanted to give up, he couldn't give up because God's word was in him. And all God did was stir up that word. And the word says he could not stay. Why? Because his word was in him as a burning fiery furnace. I mean, it was fire shut up in his bone. It was like he was burning up. He could not do anything about it because he had heard from God. He knew it. And all God had to do was stir up what he already knew. The answer to many of your emergencies is already on the inside of you. It needs to be stirred up. That's why the devil don't want you to hear good word, don't want you to hear good teaching, good preaching, because you can't hear it and it doesn't do something to you and for you. And when you begin to operate in that, you'll begin to see God do some other things. He said it was great faith when you think of the request made. Listen again. He said, speak the word only. Didn't ask him to visit his house. Didn't ask for any means to trust him to do this. All his desire will be met with his word only. Now look at this, because here's what I want you to see. When faith is really operating at its premium, you don't get hung up on asking God for signs. You are satisfied with the promise alone, knowing that he, not you, not your job, not this and that and the other, but he is faithful. Now listen to this, because see, one of the things that you've got to realize about faith, and that's why it pleases God, it's really not about the situation or the circumstances, because it's really, when you get clearly connected with that, it's really about the source. It's about what you said, Lord. It ain't about how these folk are acting up, or this person won't do what you said do, or this, that, and the other. God's got too much to work with. He's got too much available to him. He don't have to use the person you thought it was coming through to get what he's got coming to you. You've got to remember, he made the promise. Hold him accountable. And so when you said, Lord, you said it was going to be all right. You may not have given me the details, but I'm holding on to the fact that in the end, everything is going to be all right. I don't know how it's going to be all right, how you're going to work it out, but what I do know is you are going to do what you say. And so this is what you need to know. If it ain't all right right now, it ain't over. He's still working on the situation. He's still bringing it to that close and to that point and to that place where he's going to show you he is faithful. And my brothers and sisters, when you begin to recognize that it was great when you think of the request made, speak the word only. Now, here's what was important. Jairus came to get him to do what? Does anybody know the story about Jairus? To come to his house and lay his hands on his daughter and heal her. So he had to wait till the meeting was over, because Jesus had to pack up and go on down to his house, do the healing, and then come back to the meeting. Jairus said, I'll wait till you're through so I can show you where I live so you don't get lost. In the meantime, his daughter dies. because he waiting on Jesus. In the meantime, a woman with an issue of blood, say, I done waited long enough. It may not be my turn, but it's my time. And I'm going to get my healing. I'm going to touch his garment and get what belongs to me. And Jairus is still waiting. You through yet, Jesus? No, got a few more things to do. All right, I'll be right here. Now the centurion tells Jesus he has a sick servant at home. But Jesus, listen, because one, his request was not personal. It wasn't for him. It was for someone, listen, not a family member, not a husband or wife, not a, you know, great friend, but a servant. A servant. This man is a centurion. This man has authority and power. Why would he care about a servant? See, that showed his compassion, one of all, to Jesus. And so Jesus knew he was a man of importance and of authority, and yet he would break rank with what he was doing to come to Jesus and ask him to heal his servant. And Jesus said, I'll come heal him. He said, no, Jesus, you don't have to come. Now, here's what I want you to see. This man had heard about and had heard from Jesus enough of the word to realize that you ought not get caught up on the preacher or the person more than the power of the word. He didn't need Jesus to come to his house and lay his hand on his servant, because what Jesus was going to do with his hand, he could do also with the words from his mouth. It wasn't his hand that was going to heal the man. It was the power of his spoken word. And because he laid his hand, that was just a point of contact. Because he was anointed to heal. But that same anointing had already been given to disciples to go out and to heal and to transfer that anointing healing power to others. So if he did it then, could he not just say to that man's servant, be ye healed? And not have to leave that spot? And so this man, listen at this. In the same hour that he made the request, the man's servant got healed without the man ever having to leave the meeting to go home. But Jesus dismisses him, and you'll know that in the text, because he tells him to go his way. It's all over. You already believe. You've already asked me for and got what you've asked me for. So ain't no need of you hanging around here no more, because you got what you came for. I want you to see this. Look again. The Bible has made clear. He said, speak the word only. See, some of you can't get what you need because you're looking for a person. Power ain't in the person alone. The power is in the anointing on the person's life. And out of that, that comes out of the person's mouth. And so you got to realize, brothers and sisters, that what still remains, and the reason he turns to his disciples and says to them, no great faith has he found in all Israel, is this. Because for 3.5 years, he was transferring his trend of thought into their thinking processes to help them understand, I won't always be here with you. And since I won't always be here with you, what will be here with you always is my word. And what you need to understand is, when you don't see the person, you can still have the power. And see, this man got it, and he exercised. He said, Lord, don't even bother yourself about coming to my house. Well, let me tell you also, I'm not worthy. Now, did he mean my house was not clean? Lord, you'd come and see all my stuff all messed up and throw my dishes all unclean. No, it might have been some of that, but that wasn't what he said. He says, I am not worthy. Meaning, I'm not a holy person. I'm not all I ought to be. You are too holy of a man to come in an unholy house. But if you speak your word only, don't come, just your word. Now, can you imagine how this excites Jesus when he's got folk that's with him every day who don't believe in his word? Can you imagine how this excites Jesus when he has someone who has just heard him on occasions and believe